thank you again for being here. So appreciate it tonight. I want to ask, I know Mickey contacted some of you this morning who are recently back from the Asbury meeting. Would you mind just coming up and sitting right here on these seats? Those of you, Vicki and Tanya, is Lisa, yes? Okay, yes. And I think Jessica, we're going to text her in. She's working with the children tonight, and she'll be coming. Most of you, more than likely all of you, are aware of recent events at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. And God's just been breathing on meetings up there, and they've changed the schedule around now. And it began predominantly as a movement among young people. And I heard, I read where someone shared the other day that they've kind of documented about 40 different areas where there's just been breakouts of young people getting together and beginning to praise and worship. It may reflect a little differently in one place than the other. If you'll notice, the person sitting beside you is a little different than you are. And when the Lord expresses Himself through people, it can look different in different places. But just so wonderful to see people hungering for the Lord. And we have, I know Pastor Doc and Ms. June shared last Wednesday night because they went up about as soon as they heard about it. And we've had others that have gone, and we have some that aren't here tonight that have, I keep hearing about people from Grace House that have gone. And I appreciate that hunger of just wanting to get in on what God was doing. Back when I was pastoring in Baptist Church in the 90s, a man by the name of Henry Blackaby wrote a course called Experiencing God. It's really a remarkable Bible study. I recommend it for anyone to go through that at some point of time. But the core truth of that teaching was based on John chapter 5. And you hear me mention this scripture a lot. It's a powerful scripture because it tells us how Jesus lived His daily life. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And the things I speak is what I hear the Father speaking. Basically, paraphrase, that's what He said. And so the core truth of that teaching from Henry Blackaby was we must learn to discern where God is moving and join Him in what He's doing. A lot of times we have the mentality, well, I've got a good idea. Lord, would you bless this? And you know what? He's gracious and merciful. And sometimes He may kiss it with His breath, and that's all well and good. But in the Scriptures, the idea is to discern what God wants, what He's saying, where He's moving, what He's doing. And we need to always be careful not to criticize what God is doing in other places. Amen. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying not, if somebody somewhere is having some big move because they're teaching Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God, well, that's the Antichrist. That's not Holy Spirit. So I'm not saying we're to throw our discernment away. But when people are being drawn to Jesus and their hearts are being stirred toward Him and they're humbling themselves, and here's a key. When people start repenting of sin, that'll put the devil out of business. You know? And so it's a good thing. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. So we're grateful for what the Lord is doing, and there's always more with Him. As we're grateful for all that He's doing here, we know there's so much more that He has for us. So we want to hear tonight from the hearts of some people that have been on ground zero up there. And Jessica, since you're here, and I know you're thank you for serving in our children's area. She's, amen? Yes. Yes. She is such a Trojan back there. But if each of you would come up and just take a few minutes and to share. And I would like to, for each of you maybe to consider, what was stirring in you to make you pack up and head north? You know, just describe that hunger, whatever. And then give us an idea of what it was like to be there, what you saw God doing, and, you know, just some snapshots of that, okay? Amen. God bless you. And share your names, a full name, and I'll let everybody do that, and I won't have to come back up.
Jessica Marie Cobb, so you'll get the full name. So my friend Tanya and I was actually her. I had been thinking about going, and Anna Alexander is a friend of mine, and she had been a couple of days before, and I told her, I'm like, please tell me everything about it because I want all the details. And I'd already thought I wanted to go, and when she was telling me, I'm like, I don't know what I want there, but there's something there for me. I'm already starting crying, so here we go. But I just wasn't sure, and part of me was like, I mean, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, right? You know, he's in my living room, he's in my room, you know, like he's here, but there was just something drawing me to go, and it was him, but, and I know that because of what happened there, but Tonya, my friend, she'll get up and speak in a minute, she messaged me on Friday morning, and she said, we're going to Asbury, and I thought she meant, like, her and her kid, or her and her other friend. I'm like, gosh, I really want to go, and I'm like, that's awesome, who are you going with? And she's like, you. And I was like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. I work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and this is Friday, and it's the weekend, and I'm currently in a graduate program working on my master's, and I have a ton of work to do, and I'm like, I just don't know that I can do it. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to go, but if you want me to go, you just show me. And so I go to work, and I was like, well, I'll ask my boss and see, because we normally need to put in notice a few days ahead of time. And I was like, hey, Val, so I need off on Monday. I'm going to Kentucky. Is that okay? And she goes, sure. Like, no big deal. I was like, okay, well, that's one. We just got everything arranged. And then I talked to Anna, and then we found out that it wasn't 24/7 anymore. So that totally wrecked my plans. I had children's church to lead on Sunday. And based on that information, we were going to leave after church. I wouldn't even have time to get there and go with the lines and everything. And I was telling Anna on Friday night, I said, I can't find anybody to work for me, so I just don't know. She goes, I'll do it. She's like, I want you to go. She goes, if that's what it takes for you to experience it, I will teach in that class. And I'm like, okay, Lord, obviously you want me to go. So, and there's some other things that happened, and I won't tell that part because I feel like that's Tonya's to share. But we got there, drove all night through the night, and that was super fun. Get there, and I'm not a morning person. I get there at 6:00 in the morning. It is freezing cold. I don't like mornings, and I don't like cold. And there were already a few people lined up, and I thought, it's going to be fine. I'm starving. So we went to eat, came back like 45 minutes later, and there were probably already another 200 people in line in that short period of time. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to line up at 7:15 in the morning, which was our 6:15 because they're an hour ahead. And so we did it. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go for it. So we stood outside 7.5 hours. Went by super fast, not going to lie to you. You could have told me we were out there 2.5 hours. We made friends with the people next to us. We talked the whole time. There were people. The people in the very front of the line were from Thailand. They actually live in New York, but they're from Thailand. They had been there since 2:30 a.m. They spent the whole time singing, praying in tongues, singing. I mean, just joyfully. It was amazing just to listen to that. I honestly could have driven that far and stood outside in that line and been done and gotten what I needed to. But I'm really chatty, and this is probably going to take too long. But so we made friends with the people in line, talked to them. One of the guys was talking and started crying about how he had health problems. And I just felt the Lord's been calling me to boldness lately and to, like, step out of the boat. And I just said, hey, can I pray for you? We all laid hands on him, and I prayed out loud in the spirit. Those are new things for me. And he just started crying. So finally get up to the, like, it's time to go in, and we go in, and I walk in. I've just never felt anything like that. It was so calm, so peaceful, but you could just feel the presence, and it was so simple. You know, it's a dude and a guitar and a piano, and just the only thing I can think of, and I've obviously never been there, but I just kept singing and worshiping, thinking, this is what heaven feels like. This is a glimpse. This is a taste of the throne room. And it just, all my makeup was gone. I mean, like, but the coolest part for me was the past few months has been a struggle as far as hearing the voice of the Lord. I've just really been questioning it. I'm an overthinker. I'm an overanalyzer. I just really doubted myself, and it's not about your ability to hear God. It's about his ability to make himself heard. And if you will just listen for him, he'll talk. But I sat beside this girl who was young, I'd say 17 or 18, and I got this word for her, which has never happened to me. And I just told the Lord, I said, I feel like I'm here for other people. I'm here for me too, but there's something you just want me to give. And I got a word for this girl. Never happened. And I'm like, Lord, oh no. I mean, don't know this girl, but if I mess up and I'm wrong, I will never know because I don't ever have to see her again. And, so I just felt him say, you know, you need to tell her. This is for her. And I told her, and she was with her mom. And I keep in mind, for 5 months, I've been like, Lord, I don't hear you. There's been things that I've thought I've heard that didn't happen the way that I thought. So I tell this girl this word, and she just starts weeping. Her mother starts crying. So I knew I hit it. And she said 4 other people have told her this same word today. And I thought, ding, 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 we have a winner. Like, so it was as much for her as it was for me. And it was the Lord just saying, you know, you gave this word to this girl, but I love you so much. I'm confirming, even in your doubt and your fear, I'm letting you know, just like Gideon, I will confirm and confirm and confirm. I will meet you where you are. And so that's what that was for me. And then I ended up, there were some guys, and this was the favorite part, my biggest takeaway from this, was to see those kids on their knees, hugging their friends. I mean, they were so hungry, and it was so simple. And you just hear the world tell you who Gen Z is. And I heard the Lord tell me, the world doesn't say who they are. I say who they are. And they are mine. So I ended up getting a word for the guy behind me, too. He wasn't quite as, you didn't get quite as much confirmation with him, but we laid hands on them and prayed, and you could just hear them weeping. They were like 5 guys from New York City who drove. They weren't chasing a girl down there. They didn't get, they went on their own. Like these kids that you hear that you've got to, you know, do this and do that, and you've got to catch their attention and their heart. And they came down there for that. I mean, God says who they are, and they're I was just thinking, these are going to be fathers of the next generation. And they were willing to drive in the middle of the night for 7 hours and stand in line outside in the cold just to get more of Jesus. And that's what I want to do.
Thank you.
I don't right now, but if I do, I'll let you know. Now I have a direct beeline, so we should be there.
Tanya, do you want to come in? Since you two went together.
Hey, I'm Tonya. I had a work Saturday morning, so I was up already at 6:30 that morning. So I had to go to work, and I worked till 3:30, and I had told somebody, I was like, hey, we're going to revival and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, we talked a little bit. But then they got a phone call, and I was like, okay, well, I got to go, bye. So I left. Because she already told y'all Friday, the situation Friday. So I left, went home, and everything. So then he had texted me that night around, I guess it was around 8, and was talking about different revivals that had happened in the past, like 19-something, I don't remember. And I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, I'll look it up, blah, blah. And he was like, but my wife and I want to bless you. And I was like, what? He was like, we want to give you money for the trip so you don't have to pay for it. Because financially, I couldn't go. But I was determined. I was like, I just know I need to go. I just need to go. And I had a rough few weeks in the past, so I was just, I need to be closer to God. I'm close to God here, and I feel him here, but it's just to be around so many people and just to experience that and to one day tell Kylie all about it. But he said, we want to bless you. And I said, oh, are you sure? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So I met him at Cookout. We talked for a good minute. He told me, I didn't know anything really about him, like his whole life, nothing. But he opened up to me, and he was telling me how his family life was and all this stuff. So it was kind of like listening to him talk about certain things. I was like, wow, you really feel like you're comfortable with me to tell me. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to be praying for you and all this stuff. Well, he gave me the money, and I had text Jessica, and I said, hey, I was like, somebody gave me money to go for the trip to cover it completely. She's like, what? Are you kidding? You're joking. I said, no, I promise. She's like, yeah, we're definitely going. So I was like, okay, well, we'll probably leave at midnight is what I was thinking. So I fell asleep. I was like, well, I'll get ready, but I'm going to lay down. I fell asleep about 10:40, and I set my alarm for 11:20 so I'd have enough time to get ready, get whatever. And she called me at least 4 times. I did not hear my phone. I was like, man, I must have been out. I finally woke up, and I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, what time is it? And I called her. I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I didn't think I was going to wake you up. She was like, I was going to have to go bang on your apartment door, wake up everybody. She was like, but I was determined to wake you up. But I finally woke up. We left. And I told her, hey, you know it's an hour ahead, right? She's like, are you serious? I said, yes. Because I had already looked it up. I researched everything. And so she's like, oh, I'm glad we're leaving at 11. Good thing we're leaving this early. So we're on the road. I'm already exhausted already because I'm one of those people. I'm in bed at 8:30. Me and Kylie do homework. We go to bed. That's it. We don't do anything else. So we get there about, you know, she said 6 o'clock. We went to Waffle House 8, and we got there about 7:15. And I'm just like, she was like, well, maybe we can sit in the car for a little bit. I said, well, let's just go ahead and go out there and see. But by the time we got out there, you know, there was already a line formed. And I was like, wow. And then when they said, you know, the younger 16 to 25 get to go first, I'm like, I mean, they were lined up. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know if we're going to be able to get in. But standing in line, like she said, it didn't seem like it was 7.5 hours. I mean, we stood there, we talked to everybody. And I'm not an open person. I don't talk to people. You meet and greet, I'm going to sit down and don't talk to me, please, for just a minute. I just don't. I was like, half of y'all probably don't know who I am because I sit in the back. But, you know, I opened up, I sat there and I talked and I listened to everybody's stuff and just listened to other people worship around. They didn't care if so-and-so was over here, if so-and-so was over here. They didn't care who was around. They were going to worship. They were going to read their Bibles. They were all going to pray together. And to see that, it was so amazing to me because you don't see that in that generation. It's the world is so hurt. The world needs so much more. Sorry, I'm not an emotional person, but here I am. But just to see all that, and not to be around people that cuss all the time, because I'm around that a lot. And I talk about God. I try to, you know, I don't cuss. And some of them will say comments to me about that stuff. But to be around people that are so clean, wanting God, wanting more of God, that's what I was there for. I wanted more. I wanted to feel God. Because, I mean, I could pray all night, every night, all day, every day, pray with Kylie. And sometimes I just don't feel anything. Like, there's nothing there. So when I was there, it's like I could just feel everything, just calm, just the peace. And finally, when we went inside and I saw walking in there and everyone's already singing, it was just like the most beautiful thing you could hear. It wasn't like instruments, you know, banging and this and that. And I love instruments. I love the music. But just to hear the voices of all those young people, I mean, it was so full. I was just like, I hope one day Kylie does this. That's what I think about is my daughter because I always want her to be filled with God. And just as the generation gets more and more, it's like they need more God. And just to see everybody. And I've never cried so much. And about 2 years ago, I went to a Pentecostal church. And I was full on Pentecostal. I got the Holy Spirit. I know what that feels like. Then I quit going. And it was about a year before I started going to Grace House. And then, so I haven't felt that. I haven't felt that again. So going there and just praying and talking to God again and just weeping and crying, it felt so good. But I wasn't crying because I was sad because I know that's what God wanted me to do. He wanted me there. He said, Tony, I'm determined. You're going to get there. You're not going to use that credit card. You're not going to try to get yourself more into debt. You're going to get there, and I'm going to make sure of it. And I didn't think I was hearing him, but then in the end, I was like, this is all you. This isn't me. This isn't my friend over here giving me money. This was all you. You put all these people in our lives to help us, to bless us. And so I feel like that was God. And those young people, I mean, that just warmed my heart so much because knowing my daughter is going to be, you know, older And getting her to church used to be a nightmare. Me and her was fine. We would have a war zone. Like, that's what I told her today. She was rushing me the night. Let's go, Mom. Let's go, Mom. We got to go. We're going to be late. Quit trying to look pretty. Let's go. And I was like, I'm trying. Hang on. I was like, the woman talking in front of me. She goes, well, just say you went and you prayed and you felt it and you were good. It's not that easy, Kyle. You want to tell them the whole story. But it's her rushing me now to go to church. She wants to go so bad now. And to see that one day that's going to be her maybe going to those revivals, to see her praying to God, to see her at the altar, to see her getting baptized one day. And it's just, it's like I've seen, so, like I have a lot of friends, and a lot of them aren't saved. And it hurts my heart because one day when Jesus does come back, that hurts. And I can tell them all about God, and I talk to them about God. But at the end, it is their choice to make, and I'm still going to put it in them. But just to realize there's so many more people that want God, that love God. And when we left, that line was still as long as you can think it could be. And I know those people some people are still staying in line for 4 hours, for 7 hours. And they're still going to be staying in line for a long time. But they were determined to get in there, to feel that presence. Because it is a presence it's hard to even feel. But like Jessica said, you can have that anywhere. You can have it in this church. You can have it in the kids' rooms. You can have it in the nursery. Everybody can have a revival anywhere. And I hope and pray that God will bring revivals to Florence. And I hope and pray he brings them to here as well. Because we need that. More than the people realize we need it. But other than that, I mean, it was an experience. Driving back, I don't know how I stayed awake, guys, because I was literally, when we got home, it was 40 hours. And I am not, I like my sleep. I'm at 8:30 o'clock, go to bed. So, but it was a good experience, and I hope everybody else will get that experience one day to see those things and experience that. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Well, I'm Lisa. This is Aslan, my son, and he just turned 17, and I've been waiting on this my whole life. Thank you. I'm not a public speaker, but I am a crier. But I woke up Wednesday morning, and I knew I had to go. I don't know if you have those moments in your life where you just feel compelled. There's just nothing that can stand in the way. You just know however you're going to get there, you're going to get there. And so I called my mom and I thought, you know, didn't even look at my bank account. I just said, big faith, you got to take a big step. And I called my mom and I thought, well, you know, maybe she'll want to go, or I have 4 kids. My littlest is 4, sorry. And I thought, this is going to be a doozy, traveling with kids. And so she said, well, I want to go. And I said, okay, let's do this. And so we set out Thursday morning after we, you know, found a place to stay. And I had contacted Pastor Dr. Miss Jean. We were like, we don't know anything about the area. You know, where do we go? And we found a hotel that was about 40 minutes away. Everything was just booked up, completely booked up. And we knew we were going to be there at least a couple of days. And thank goodness, because Thursday, by the time we got there, it was really late. And we thought, I was just like, oh, man, you know, I just want to go straight there. And so I just gave it to the Lord. And Friday, we actually ended up meeting up with Jason and Anna Alexander, and before we even got there, thank you, before we even got to the college grounds, Jason was already like, man, I feel like we need to pray for your mom. She was on the second day of a really severe headache and just some stuff like that, and he prayed for her, and she was instantly healed. This was blocks away, and a total calmness and peace came throughout her whole body. She just was like, well, man, this is what I came for, you know. And when I was just like, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I knew I had prayed into this, you know, for years, and I'd been asking the Lord about it. And, you know, about 12 years ago, Dutch Sheets did the Awakening and Reformation tour, and boy, God wrecked me. You remember it was at Christ Chapel, and it was amazing. I've never felt the power of God to that level, where it just feels like it shakes you from the core of you. And I knew, you know, that it's coming, and whatever it takes, whatever sacrifices have to be made, you know, whatever we have to put to the side, it's coming, and I don't want to miss it. And so when we got around the block to the grounds of the college, there were people in line wrapped around. I mean, I was like, we're going to be here a while. And it started snowing on us, and I thought, oh, I wasn't prepared for that either. So, you know, a few hot hands in your pocket just didn't cut it. And after hearing the bells, you know, of the hours go by, you know, you could hear the bells at the school, and it was so beautiful. And I realized, I was like, I think that's the third time that we've heard those bells. And, you know, so we've really been out here for a while. And my girls were getting restless, and so Mom had went away walking around with them, and they were just starting to set up heaters outside. And Jason doesn't meet a stranger. And so he's, you know, getting busy praying for people in the line. And and then, you know, him and Aslan ended up getting together, and that's a whole incredible story. But we got to the steps finally, and I thought, this is it. I'm about to step in here, and I just didn't know how to, you know, didn't know how to act. I'm not a super outward person. I tend to be an introvert, and I just thought, well, don't let me fall apart. But if I need to, then I will. And they directed us into the balcony, and what a beautiful place. What a beautiful picture. As soon as I walked into my seat, it was peace, and it was a sweetness. And at the same time, it was electric, and my hands began to tremble and shake, and I just felt like wells of weeping just wanted to pour out, and it, and then it just would, you know, calm down, and then it would swell again, and then it would calm down, and it was something to experience. And it was like Jessica said, it was so simple. There was nothing complicated. It's not like you have to be a prophet to give a word, or you have to be a leader to pray for somebody, and you know, it was just simple, hearts to hearts to hearts, and people just hungry. And Jason ended up, he was sitting near me with little Esther, and she was just raising her hands and praising the Lord. And she didn't know the words, but she was going to sing, you know, and it was so beautiful. And he reached over, and next thing I know, I was wearing a ball cap that said Mom that I got from Harp and Timbrel. But his hand just was on me, and he started praying, and the next thing I know, my whole face and body and everything is just trembling, and the Lord is coming in, and it felt like my brain was just on fire. And for those that don't know me, I've struggled with severe nerve pain in my face and in my head, and TMJ and things like that that tend to cause trembling in my face, and sometimes I can't speak. Sometimes I have trouble swallowing. But that heat went from my brain all the way down to the side of my face, and I said, I don't know what is happening to me, but I know that God's in it. And he said, that's healing. God's healing you. And I said, I knew he was going to. I just didn't know when it would manifest. Because he's promised me healing. And so we continued to sit in there for a couple of hours. And it felt like 30 minutes. It just, time just passed. It was gentle. And it was sweet. And it would just swell. And it would come back down. And it would swell. And when I left, I was reminded of a few months ago when I was praying about revival in the U.S. and across the world. And, you know, years ago, I really connected with Mr. Dutch's, you know, heart, like what God's put on his heart. And, you know, I just said, Lord, I trust you. I know that it's coming. And I can feel that season changing. And I know that it's here. You know, where will it manifest? And he just gave me a vision of, he talks to me in maps sometimes, and it was just a vision of the United States. And I thought, oh, you know, everybody's been talking about water and water pouring over, you know, us and areas. And I didn't see that. It was a low-burning fire, and it just swept from the east to the west of the United States. And there was nothing left that wasn't touched. And then I got that picture from The Passion of the Christ, where he's walking by his mother, and he's carrying that cross, and he says, look, Mother, I make all things new. And I just thought, this is it. And it is coming to Alabama. It is here, but it's coming to every home. It's not just a church. It's coming to every generational stronghold. It's coming to every shadow. There's nothing that he won't be the Lord of. We all will have the opportunity to say yes. So I'll pass it to him.
Well, I've never done this, so if I start talking like a robot, just look at me like I'm dumb. Basically, it was Wednesday, and she was like, hey, we're going to Asbury. And I was like, okay. You know, I wasn't mad about, you know, missing out on going and hanging out with friends or whatever. It's just like, cool, let's do it. You know, never done anything like that. And so, yeah. But no, I was like, cool, let's go. So I packed my bag and just was like, you know, cool, let's go. So we went, and of course the car ride was just a car ride, but it was good, you know, it was very long. But no, we did that, and, you know, went through Nashville and everything, and that was cool to see the Nissan Stadium and everything through there. But it was actually once we got there, I got really excited. I was like, you know, I don't know why I'm excited, but let's do it. And I've always been, I'm super quiet. I don't really, I like to talk to people, but I'm not very outward, you know, so. But we got there, and I was like, you know, Lord, just whatever you want to do, let's just do it. You know, it's like, I'm here, so, you know, there's no reason to fight. So we got there, and, of course, we were with Jason and Anna and my boy Christian. We were there, and just standing in line, and it was so cold. I was in so much pain. I had a cramp going from my foot all the way up to my back on my right side. It was so cold. Jason asked me, he said, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, no, I've been baptized in water. I said, you know, but, and I believe I'm saved, but I've always just went to church and just felt just the way that I feel and go to the gym and go hang out and just do my thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And long story short, the line goes up. We're there for 2 hours, and you know, he prays for this guy, and that takes however long, and he gets done, and we're in line standing there, and I'm very cold, and he doesn't say anything to me. He just touches me, and so, dang, okay. And I know what's happening in my head. My spirit's just like, okay, here we go, and. So I can't hold my head up. I'm shaking. I'm already cold, but I go from being super cold to super warm so quick. And I can't hold my head up. It's hard to stand because I know what's happening. And for a minute, you know, my flesh got in the way, and I was like, you know, fighting it. I was like, you know, well, I don't know what this is, but you know, it's just something, you know. But I just felt in my head, I was like, you're in the way. Get out of the way. So it took me a minute, and I got out of the way and let God work. And I just stood there for a minute, and he was praying in tongues. And I got really, really warm standing there. And a moment later, what had happened was he just told me, of course, it was God working through him, but he was telling me, he's like, okay, now just release it. And I just opened my mouth. I couldn't control what I was saying or what I was doing. I just started praying in tongues right there and wanted to fall over, you know. And, you know, that happens, and that goes on for 10 minutes or however long. And I didn't choose to come out of it. I was in a different state. I knew I didn't want to leave. I didn't know. He asked me, he was like, how do you feel? I was like, I don't know how I felt. All I knew was that I didn't want to leave. So that happened, and all of a sudden I came out of that, and I was bursting with joy. I was very happy. I even laughed a little bit. I wasn't laughing at nothing specific. I just was laughing. I was very just filled with joy. And he looked at me, and he said, he's like, I feel like it's not done. And I said, yeah, I don't think it is either. I'm standing here. It's not either. And I went from smiling and being real happy to he pulled me over to the sidewalk, and I wept for about 5 minutes. Just uncontrollable. I couldn't control it. It just felt like I knew I was saved. I believed I was saved. I went to church, and you know, I wanted to be a good person and all that, but I never really knew how empty I was until I felt how full I could be. So. And so that happened, and then that was over, and it was just God in there with a sewing machine, taking all the just garbage out, and it felt like a reset. And so, and then being filled with something that actually meant something, now when you listen to worship music or you go to church or whatever, it's just not something that you just do. It's actually a desire. It's something that you actually want to do. So that's what I experienced. And that wasn't even in the building yet. We were still on the sidewalk. And, of course, the building was great. It was very pretty. And, of course, everybody in there was college age or younger, around my age. And it was awesome. It like what she said, it had moments where, you could feel it the whole time. But certain moments, there was one time where almost everybody in the building started jumping up and down, just praising God so much. We were up on the balcony, actually, and the balcony started shaking up and down. I was like, okay, but no, that was great. And we were in there for probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and it felt like, 10 minutes. It felt like time didn't pass regular in there. It was great, so.
Well, isn't it interesting the age we go from young all the way up to the old? And my experience was very different than the other people that I've shared tonight. I'm Vicki McCain, and Mom and Dad, Pastor Doc and June, are my parents. And so my whole life, since I was 12 years old, Dad went to seminary there in Wilmore. So I've been on those grounds and done many things there, and heard the stories of the revival. And so when I heard this had happened, I just knew I had to go back. I had to connect again. And a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, James Nesbitt had a thing at Cane Ridge, and some of the ladies here in the church went. And on the way back, I said, I want to take y'all by where the Asbury revival happened and just let you see. And let's just pray outside the building. Well, we were able to go inside the building, and so we sat there, and we just began to redig the wells of revival that had happened in that building. And so when I saw and heard what was going on, I just knew I had to go back, that I was connected to that. And, the word says to taste and see. And so I just felt like the Lord was saying, come and see what I'm doing. And so Tina, she's my always up for whatever. She said, I don't know where we're going. What do you want to do? So I said, we're going to Wilmore. She said, okay, when are we leaving? So I told her. And so we're the old bunch, so we didn't drive all night long like some of y'all did. We got us a hotel part of the way. And we got up, and just how the Lord times everything in your life and puts you where you need to be was amazing. Just the people around us. But we got there, and we had to park. Just to find a parking place, we had to walk a mile from our parking place to the end of the line. And we had packed our pockets with little protein bars and stuff. We thought, well, we might eat these and we might not. Well, trust me, we ate them. We were in line for 9 hours, and it was cold, and the wind was blowing. And if you had told me that I was going to stand in line for 9 hours, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I thought I was going to stand in line just a few hours. And I would get to one spot, and they would say, well, they say it's 3 hours from here. I'd be like, Lord, we've already been in line 3 hours. I'm freezing to death. I've eaten all my protein bars. I'm getting down to the empty pockets. And I told her at one point, you can tell how long we've been in line. Our pockets are empty. But anyway, so we get there, and they said it's 3 hours from this point. Well, it wasn't. It was six more hours from that point. And, but, you know, I there's so much about it that you don't realize is happening until you walk, till you get home and process things. And I was thinking about this because the Word says where there's unity, I will command a blessing. And there's all kinds of blessings attached to Asbury Revival. There's salvation and repentance and healings and all of that. But, you know, there was such a level of peace and contentment. And I don't know if y'all can believe me or not, but I'm going to tell you something that's really hard to believe. But for 9 hours, we stood in line with families that had little kids, that had babies in strollers. And not one time did I hear a baby cry. Not one time did I hear a child complain. I never heard a kid say, Mom, I'm tired. When are we going to get in there? I'm hungry. Kids grabbed a ball and they played ball with kids they didn't know. And not one time did one of them say, it's my turn. He won't let me have a turn. Nobody tattled. No parent ever raised their voice to a child. I said, you can't go to Walmart and be in a Walmart checkout line and not hear that mess. And the happiest place on earth, Disney, you can't be in a line there without hearing it. But for 9 hours, y'all, I did not hear it. Kids played with each other. They chased each other. They played hide and seek. And they just moved down the line with their parents and just find another little place to play. And, you know, I just said, Lord, that is what happens in your presence. It's not just the spiritual part that you want to bless. It's also the natural part of us that you want to bring peace and whole and healing to. So, you know, that was remarkable to me that that happened. And when we went in, you know, I told Tina, I said, I was expecting, you know, when you think you've paid the ultimate price by standing in line for 9 hours and eating all your snacks, that you're just going to hit the floor the minute you walk in the building. Well, I didn't. I didn't feel anything. And I went in and sat down, and by this time they were letting us sit where the young people were because they were all in there. It was 9 o'clock at night, and we had been listening to the worship sets because they had the Jumbotron. So we'd been worshiping outside, and y'all, it was the weakest worship set from the whole entire day. I mean, I was expecting to be blown away by the worship, but I wasn't. And they had more speakers than they'd had all day long. They had in the 2 hours Tina and I got to be in there. And, you know, the Lord said, it's not anything but me. And anything you get will be from me. It will not be from a great worship set. And it will not be from the lack of speakers or the amount of speakers. It will be from me. And so, you know, what I observed, and I just told my girls, I said, for me it was a privilege that one day I can tell my grandkids I was there and I was part of history, and I wanted to see. And so I spent my time watching. I watched the kids around me sing every song, every song. And, you know, most time boys don't sing. You know, you can't get boys to sing much. Those boys around me were singing to the top of their lungs, just worshiping. Some of them were doing drums on the back of the chairs. And, you know, I wanted to say, Lord, could you just, but it didn't happen. Anyway, so Tina and I stayed a couple of hours because we felt like we were there and we wanted to open it up and allow people who were still standing in line, because at 11 o'clock at night, there were still thousands of people in line to get in. And so we walked across to one of the overflow buildings, and I walked in there and I sat down, and it was on the seminary side, and I thought, I bet my daddy had chapel in this building. And so when I got home, I said, Dad, did you have chapel in Estes Chapel? And he said, yes, I've preached in that chapel. And so for me, this trip was a reconnecting of generations. And it was connecting with my roots, but it was also, it fired me up to know that not all these children have bowed their knee to Baal. And that there is a great revival, and God is coming for this generation. And if we will choose to, we can get in on it. It is not just for them, but it is time for them. And the way that chapel is arranged, there's a balcony, like a horseshoe kind of thing, and they let all the kids stay on the main floor because that was the most seats, and then the adults had to go in the balcony. But the Lord said, you know, that is such a natural picture of what I want to do in the Spirit. The older generation needs to be covering this younger generation. We need to be standing above them and covering them and watching and seeing what God is doing and being encouraged. So I just want to encourage you that the prayers we have prayed, the decrees we have made, God is indeed moving. And I just had to go and see. And I just say to you, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm. Amen. Andrew, would you come just on your guitar, please? And let's stand together. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My heart's been so deeply touched tonight through these testimonies, a deposit from each and every person that shared. And Aslan, that what you said about not knowing how empty you are until you experience how full you can be, that there's smoke on that, brother. I mean, there's such truth in that. So I just challenge each and every one of us to press in more than we ever have. You know, we have an overflow weekend planned this weekend. We've had some changes. Pastor Dan Hammer called me a couple of days ago. He and his wife, Terry, he was scheduled to be here this weekend. His wife, Terry, while they were in Israel, fell and broke her leg. They finally were able to get her back to the States and home, but he's having to help her up and downstairs and just to get her. He said, I can't leave. I said, that's fine. The Lord's will adjust. So Bishop Kyle Searcy will be here Saturday morning at 10. I'm telling you this before we have our response time, so because I know some people have mentioned that it's been canceled. It has not. Everything's on for Saturday morning, Sunday morning. But be seeking the Lord. Home. You wake up in the morning, get out on your knees and tell the Lord what you need. Ask Him to fill you new and fresh. Do that here tonight. You know, you may only be one step away from what your heart's been hungry for years. God blesses the trip. God blesses the waiting. He blesses the steps that we take toward Him. That's what His Word teaches. So what I'd like for us to do tonight is just, and you certainly don't have to, but I'd like for all of us that could just to, let's cluster up right here. And if you could lead us in a song that we all may know. I don't know, like How Great Is Our God or something like that, that we all just know so that we can connect without even having to think about the words. Let's just lift our voices together in unison and worship Him. Make it 100% about Jesus. Make room. Y'all come on up a little bit if you don't mind. And if you're unable to, we perfectly understand that. Hey, no problem with that.